Jesus Christ who puts that plan into action. It's the Lord Jesus who actually brings about the events that happen on earth. When you read the newspapers, they tell you about this great leader or about this general. They talk about how George Bush has planned this and how Tony Blair brought that about. But when you read the Bible, discover that behind all that it's the Lord Jesus who actually brings about the end of history in order to fulfill God's plans. In the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus breaks open the 7th seal on the file of the book contains God's plan, and then for half an hour there's silence in heaven, and then that silence is broken by the prayers of God's people, and then in answer to those prayers, God unleashes a series of terrifying events on earth. Each one of them is heralded by a trumpet. Angels, and each angel today blows a trumpet to warn the world that God is about to send one more terrifying judgment. In the second half of Revelation chapter 8, the first four angels in turn and blow and the trumpets. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, the first angel sounds his trumpet, and immediately burning hail rains down from heaven to blight the earth. A third of the earth becomes uninhabitable. And then, in verse 8, the second angel sounds his trumpet, and a blazing mountain falls upon the ocean and blights the ocean, a third of the ocean. And the light of the heat. And it is 10 feet further, and a great star blazing like a torch falls from the sky, and it belongs with running water, the fresh water, the springs, and the lakes, the rivers, and the poisonous. And in verse 12 of chapter 8, the fourth angel sounds his trumpet. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars are struck, and the light that shines upon the world is reduced by a third. Even the light and the great celestial bodies are blighted. Four power blows from God's hand. Each part of the environment in which we have to live, spoiled, blighted. All these done, God's angels bring these things about. And we do so because these things are God's plans. The earth blighted, the ocean blighted, spoiled, the fresh water blighted, even the light that shines upon the world darkened. When are these things happening? We see in the book of Revelation. It's not that these things happen at one moment in history, and then it's over and done with. Rather, these are the things that God does again and again and again. Throughout history, God sends such judgments. God, in different ways, states the violent motifs of human beings living. Some hostile, destructive, evil ways of peace makes it plain that this curse lies upon the human race and therefore upon the world in which the human race lives. So we see four awful dimensions of God's judgment, each of them falling upon the world, the environment, and the home in which we live. Again, as we move towards time, we see that there is worse to come. In his vision, Paul fears and evil, chapter 8, verse 13, and it's flying in the air, it's overhead. And the world is completely evil. Probably well, the vulture. This is the bird of prey, a frightening, scavenging creature, and there it is hovering above the world. The creature is going to escape. The life of that is from the world. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Thank you.
own heaven.
bit by the sea.
We're living in a country where there's ample food. We're living in a country where there's wonderful medical resources. We're living in a country where God makes all things bright and beautiful. It's not the first four trumpets that are sounding in our country. But the fifth is, isn't it? Isn't it true that we seem to meet more and more people who are just wrecked? Wrecked psychologically, wrecked emotionally, wrecked mentally, just tormented people. Think of some of the people who have turned up at this building just a few months back. I remember a terrible, tragic character. Drunken, yes. Destroying himself with alcohol, but his mind deranged, just pouring out incoherent gibberish and curses and hatred. Man in torment. He was a man who could never have a moment's peace. How many people we seem to meet and with whose lives are blighted by irrational depressions or terrifying delusions. Why does something like anorexia become such a problem in our society? Young girls who seem to hate their own bodies so much that they feel they've got to starve themselves near to death, and some do die. Why do we see so many teenagers deliberately uglifying themselves, just piercing their bodies, slashing their wrists? What is wrong with a society where people are so wretched and where they hate themselves so much? Why do we seem to meet so many, more and more people who live with schizophrenic delusions, who are involved in the most self-destructive practices? Sodomy. What could be more self-destructive than that? Talk to any doctor about the actual physical damage that gay people inflict upon themselves and one another. What sort of insane society are we living in, where people want to damage themselves so much in so unnatural ways? Why is suicide going up and up and up like this? Why are the young people in our society who have everything, the things that you never dreamed of having when you were their age, why are they all so unhappy? These youngsters here tonight, so truculent. The youngsters you see hanging around on the street corners, just so moody. They just stand there, just looking so grim, so dour, so gloomy. They've not got a polite word. They've not got a smile. Their faces never brighten up. You smile at them, and you just get that sullen growl. Why are they so unhappy? You would think that youngsters of 18 or 19, living in a country where everything's provided for them, where they'll never go hungry, free to do whatever they want, you'd think that their faces would be alive. And they're not. There's a greyness about them. They're living in a tormented society, aren't we? More beds in our health service are given over to people with mental problems than any other. There are more than 50% of the beds in our hospitals are there for psychiatric patients. People who are trying to commit suicide. People who live with bizarre delusions. through our society. The air is becoming very grey and very dark. And the locusts, the tormenting demons, are invading people's minds. Oh yes, there are mechanisms by which they do it. Of course, in a society where people wickedly abuse children, of course many of those children will grow up emotionally damaged and unhappy. Of course, in a society where people turn entertainment into an idol, in that society we will develop bizarre new pathological conditions. Lottery addiction, or addiction to computer games. We're inventing new pathologies, new mental illnesses every week. Hardly surprising when you see the way that parents deal with their children. We're talking this morning about discipline. It's hardly surprising that many of those children grow up with complete bizarre, twisted personalities. Yes, Satan knows how to invade a society. These locusts know how to drive their stings home into human personalities. Our society more and more. Whenever you're walking through Stockport precinct, you see one more wreck of a human being. Perhaps somebody sitting there, filthy, their hair matted, drunk, still gibbering. Remember this passage. Remember what's happening. This is the trumpet blowing. This is God's judgment. These are the locusts of hell tormenting wretched human beings. There are those times in history when many human beings in a particular place, a particular society, suffer terrible torments. And those torments don't come from outside. They don't come from natural disasters. They don't come from storms and famines and earthquakes. They come from inside. They're caused by the poison of Satan injected into the system. These torments are inflicted by Satan and his demons. These torments come by God's permission. That's what we're being told here. The star, Satan, was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. He couldn't have opened that shaft. He couldn't have opened the trapdoor. These demons couldn't have gone free if God had not permitted it. If the trumpet hadn't sounded. If God hadn't said, "This is the time for this judgment." See, as I say, these people in all their wretchedness, you say, this is God's reaction to the sins of our society. This is God's reaction to the idolatry. He's cursed our society not with famine. He's cursed our society with tormented minds, tormented personalities. He's done so as a sign of his wrath. And what about us? What about us who are believers? First of all, let's learn to pity. Let's learn to pity tormented men and women. You know, when you look at people who are in this state, it's easy to hate them, isn't it? It's easy to hate them because of their insane behaviour, because of their sullenness, or because of their crazed gibberings. It's easy to hate them. because of the antisocial behavior, because of the self-destructive behavior. Never forget that they are tormented. That they are tormented people. And then never forget that Christ took pity on men and women like that. And never forget that the power of Christ is sufficient to restore men and women like that. Of that Gadarene demoniac. Do you remember what is said at the end of the story? The people from the town came and they found him clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do you believe that's possible? When you see the person whose mind has been torn apart by demonic powers, the person who's been reduced into a filthy wreck, do you believe that the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ could restore that man or woman and make them a beautiful, godlike person again? You must believe that. The Lord Jesus went and he showed mercy to demonized people, tormented people. When people like that are saved, then they can bring great glory to the Lord Jesus. Don't despair of them. But then thirdly, remember this. That it is of grace that you are not among them. It's of grace that you're not among them. Do you see what it says here in verse 4? These demons were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. You're protected. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're protected. You've got a seal upon your forehead, an invisible seal, but one that God has put there. He's sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He's marked you out as his own. You belong to him. You're under his protection. Why you? If he hadn't chosen you, if he hadn't drawn you, if he hadn't saved you, where would you be tonight? Would you be one of those paedophiles whom you so despise, who disgust you so much because of their horrible compulsion? You could be. Would you be one of those insane, gibbering tramps by the side of the road? You could be. Would you be filling yourself up with heroin bought with the proceeds of muggings? And finally dying of AIDS through infected needles. Yes, you could be there. Tonight you're here instead. Tonight you're here as a believer, I trust. Tonight you're here as a man or woman united with Jesus Christ. You're here tonight as someone indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Someone with an eternity of joy ahead of you. Haven't you reason to be glad? Haven't you reason to be humble? And haven't you reason to give thanks to the Lamb of God who saved you? May God apply his word to our hearts by his Holy Spirit.